Do you love math? That might be asking a lot. Many people hate math, some tolerate it, but only a few really find joy in numbers. Among those few is Shalini Sharma, author of the new book, Math Mind, The Simple Path to Loving Math. Shalini is a math expert and the CEO and co-founder of Zurn, a nonprofit educational organization that produces a popular math learning platform for elementary and middle school students nationwide. Here she is to share five of her big ideas.
Hi, my name is Shalini Sharma, and I am the CEO and co-founder of Zurn, a nonprofit dedicated to transforming K through 8 math education. Zurn's online math platform is used by 1 in 4 elementary school students and by more than 1 million middle school students nationwide. Today, I'm going to share 5 key insights from my new book, Math Mind, The Simple Path to Loving Math. Insight number 1. All kids are math kids. The first thing you should know about me is that I'm not a math prodigy. But in 6th grade, I transferred schools and was unexpectedly placed in honors math. After our first test, Mr. Snyder said, "You did well. If you try your very best, you could be just as good as the boys." It was a terrible thing to say by today's standards, but it rocked my middle school world. I knew I was behind where I needed to be, but I heard Mr. Snyder's inspiring message. If I worked hard, I could not only catch up, but I could compete with the best. It changed my self-expectations. I had already unconsciously decided that I was just lucky to be in the room and that I would spend the year hanging on for dear life. Mr. Snyder told me that I belonged in that room and that if I made the effort, I could thrive. With that emboldening knowledge, I did work hard. In that hard work, I found the beauty and pleasure of math itself. Not the relief of doing well on a test, not the reward of pleasing others, but the plain sensation of enjoyment when solving a puzzle, when finding a path to everything making sense. I was pleased as ratios fell into place on a ratio table, and I felt the intense aha moment of understanding that y does in fact equal mx plus b when I plotted points on the coordinate plane. I became one of the math kids. I wasn't born one, but I discovered that I could transform myself into one. That discovery has made all the difference in my life, and it can make all the difference in yours, too. Insight number 2. Myths prevent us from building a math mind. Though many people say they hate math, what they really mean is they hated the things they did in math class. They hated the experience of nonstop time pressure, of memorizing meaningless formulas and procedures, and of being forced to solve problems the exact way the teacher said to do it. They were miserable because their learning was built on myths. To renounce the myths, you need to state the opposite realities as follows. Speed isn't everything. Automaticity, the ability to call upon key facts and skills quickly and reflexively, is vital in math. When we have automaticity or fluency of math facts and procedures, we free up working memory to apply to the hard math problem in front of us. Timed activities help build up this capability. But speed kills fun and creativity. If you know an engineer, a programmer, or a scientist, ask them about how long it took them to figure out a recent work problem. I guarantee they'll tell you that they spent days, weeks, months, and even years working out solutions. Speed is only one essential tool in math learning to provide a specific benefit. And overemphasizing it leads to neglecting the others, reducing rigor and increasing math anxiety. Tricks are not the answer. Math is a set of axioms or rules of the universe that you can trust completely. But we often teach it as a set of arbitrary, seeming, unconnected tricks. Algorithms are not tricks. The standard addition algorithm always works, whether you are adding 2-digit numbers or 10-digit numbers, whereas the bow tie method for adding fractions will let you down quickly once you move beyond 2 add-ins. Algorithms always work. There is no single way. You've been conditioned to believe that there is one correct or proper way to solve a problem. Reject this conditioning. Be open-minded and exploratory rather than single-minded and reactive when faced with a math problem. consider the difference between answer getting and problem solving. Answer getting is when math is taught as a rigid set of steps to follow. Problem solving is a creative, cognitive process in which you strive to deepen your understanding. There are many ways to solve a problem, and they usually require visualizing it. In real-world STEM contexts, people discuss many ways of attacking a problem before they even begin their work. Their goal may be to find a more elegant, cheaper, or faster approach. The myth that there's a single way to solve a math problem keeps people from ever experiencing this process. Insight number 3. We must teach math so it makes sense, with pictures and objects. From birth, we are pre-programmed to do math with pictures and objects. This is supported by the way math is taught in the highest performing countries, and it is the core insight from Zern's learning dataset of billions of math problems created by millions of children. Recognizing this reality guides the way to a superior alternative to the math most of us were taught. In sixth grade, my wonderful math teacher, Mr. Snyder, yes, him again, was frustrated with our class because we were obsessed with getting the right answers at the expense of deep understanding. He told us a story that illustrated the perils of learning math without understanding it. The tale of the A&W's third pounder. In the early 1980s, A&W launched a hamburger that tasted better according to blind taste tests and offered more meat than the McDonald's quarter pounder. Their advertising copy read, A&W has bigger, better, third-pound burgers. The slogan to promote the burger highlighted the quantity. Third is the word. The McDonald's quarter pounder offers, well, 1/4 of a pound, or 4 ounces of meat. This better-tasting and bigger burger, with 5.3 ounces of meat, was offered for the same price as McDonald's. Nevertheless, the product launch failed. When the A&W team investigated the failure, they discovered that most people believed the third pounder contained less meat than the quarter pounder because the number 3 is smaller than the number 4. Instead of seeing the better deal, they perceived they were getting ripped off. To quote education journalist Elizabeth Green, the third pounder presented the American public with a test in fractions, and we failed. The story of Americans failing at fractions is a story of lost intuition. It's similar to not knowing if the sun will rise tomorrow or whether 4 is a bigger quantity than 3. Insight number 4. With the right support, all kids can catch up in math when they fall behind. In the early years of building Zern, we conducted a rudimentary analysis of our digital learning approach. The key question we wanted to answer was, what helps students get a question right when they had gotten a similar question wrong initially? We found something unexpected. When students who had gotten something wrong were then shown another way of solving the problem, they were more likely to get a similar problem correct the next time they encountered it. A few years ago, with more than 14 billion completed problems in our dataset, we returned to this line of inquiry. During the depths of the pandemic, I was talking to Steve Levitt of Freakonomics fame. He asked what we send students back to work on when they struggle. I explained that in math, there's often nowhere to go back to. The dominant schema, I told him, is often a waste of kids' time. Sometimes students do need to go back and review earlier material, but the reflex to send them back immediately, no matter what, is misguided. Levitt challenged my team. If what we were saying was true, we should prove it. He assured us that our dataset was sufficiently robust and offered creative ideas on how to find a natural experiment in our dataset. Our researchers got to work utilizing cutting-edge data science methods. First, they built a fixed-effect model. This is a model where rather than comparing one cohort of students to another cohort of students, our researchers compared students against themselves. They broke down the times in the Zern app when the same students were left on grade level to be shown another approach to a problem compared to times when the students were taken off grade level and put on a remediation track. We saw what happened to the exact same kids when they were able to stay on grade level and shown a different way, compared to when they were taken off grade level and remediated in the traditional way. Even though we were responding to Levitt's challenge and trying to prove what we already believed was happening, we were still shocked by the strength of the findings. When the same student was shown a different way, she struggled less than when she was taken back and remediated with previous grade level content. And of course, because these students stayed on grade level, they completed more grade level content. Imagine a seventh grade student is learning negative numbers, and while learning about those, she encounters decimal operations. In the context of an engaging lesson to make sense of negative numbers, where we are descending a mountain, positive numbers, passing sea level, zero, and then diving into the ocean, negative numbers, she sees a problem, 1.4 divided by 2, and she is stuck. She doesn't know what to do. A remediation approach would take her back to weeks of fourth and fifth grade work to build up her knowledge of decimals. Now let's consider a different way. When she struggled with 1.4 divided by 2, we could show her this problem next. What is 14 divided by 2? 7. Right. Easy. Then we would say, decimal operations are exactly like whole number operations, so you are very close to understanding this question. The alternative doesn't have to be anything complex. Just a nudge toward an alternative attempt can allow kids to leapfrog forward. Insight number 5, from sorting to teaching. Math matters for everyone, but we act as if it matters only for a select few. Our education system is built around both overt and quiet classifying of students, what I refer to as sorting. Ultimately, children don't have to be told they're bad at math. They tell themselves. They sort themselves out based on the accumulation of negative messages they've received. Further, the sorting system is so crushing, even for those who get sorted into the math pile, that we extinguish their curiosity for math altogether. That's the bad news. The good news is that we can all be math people if we change the goal of instruction from sorting to teaching. We came up with this system, and we can design a better one. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy the book and continue to build your math mind.
Thank you, Shalini. That was 5 big ideas from Math Mind, The Simple Path to Loving Math by Shalini Sharma. You might also like our book bite for Mathish, Finding Creativity, Diversity, and Meaning in Mathematics by Joe Bowler. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a great day.